I'm Attorney Benjamin Crump, along with my co-counsel, Attorney Anthony Gray, and Attorney Darrell Parks, and Attorney Pam Means, President of the National Bar Association. We will initially address this press conference, the family's response to the announcement by the prosecutor yesterday. Reverend Al Sharpton and Michael Brown Sr. will come and address you after the attorneys make their comments. Michael Brown Sr. will say very little because he doesn't want to misspeak because of such emotions that are going through him that will later be held against him. And so with that said, we will take a few questions after that. Agenda is completed, and we will try to respect the family of Michael Brown Jr. in this most terrible, unforgiving hour that they are facing. Attorney Gray and Attorney Darrell Parks and myself, we objected back in August to this prosecutor. We even wrote a letter to Governor Jay Nixon requesting a special prosecutor to be appointed. We objected when he informed us the process that he was going to use that was different than anything else, different than any normal grand jury that you would have presented. And now, after we watched him last night in his comments, we strenuously objected to this prosecutor and this process. But this morning, after we, like all of you, went through as much of the information, I think it was described as a data dump, we went through as much of it as we could and saw how completely unfair this process was. We object publicly and loudly as we can on behalf of Michael Brown Jr.'s family that this process is broken. The process should be indicted. It should be indicted because of the continuous systematic results that is yielded by this process. And let's be very honest. Let's be very honest about this process. We have the local prosecutor who has a symbiotic relationship with the local police and the local police officers who sit in judgment whether to indict the police when they brutalize or kill a young person from our community. And normally, that prosecutor has no relationship or no regards for the young person of color. And so, as Attorney Gray and Attorney Parks predicted at the beginning, we could foresee what the outcome was going to be. And that's exactly what occurred last night. But it is awfully troubling when you look at what was released and you hear about the police officer who shot Michael Brown Jr. in broad daylight, the unarmed teenager, and you hear he testified for 4 hours, and you had to scratch your head, kind of like we all did, to say, when is the prosecutor going to cross-examine the killer of an unarmed person? A first-year law student would have did a better job of cross-examining a killer of an unarmed person than the prosecutor's office did. I mean, where was it vetted? Where was his veracity ever challenged? Where was his credibility ever challenged when you watched those 4 hours that he got to give a speech to this grand jury? You know, he told the detective testified, he told me he got hit 10 times violently. He told the grand jury he only got hit 2 times. But he said, and you all heard it, Hulk Hogan against a 5-year-old. Nobody questioned, well, officer, you're 6'4", you weigh 226 pounds. Michael Brown is 6'6", he wears 292 pounds. You mean to tell me that he hit you with such force as you were describing, that it was gonna knock you out, it was gonna knock you unconscious? And nobody held up the pictures to say, but that's not consistent with the physical evidence. Reverend Al, we object to this process because all across America, President Means, whether it's in New York, Los Angeles, California, Cleveland, young people of color are being killed by police officers, and the local prosecutors put together this fair and unbiased grand jury, and it continues to yield the same results. Now, I've been told, Mr. Mariel, that if you continue to do the same thing over and over again and expect a different result, then that is the definition for insanity. And we say to the prosecutor, we are not insane. We know that our children deserve equal justice, just as any American. And we want the prosecutors, if they have a conflict of interest, and for the sake of the public trust, which is so critical to Ferguson and many communities all over America, President Brooks, we pray that prosecutors will say, we want people to believe in the system. And if that means appointing a special prosecutor who has no relationship with the accused officers, that you do so. The legacy of Michael Brown Jr. should be one not where we just make a lot of noise, Mr. Brown. That wouldn't be the proper legacy to your son. The legacy to Michael Brown Jr. should be that instead of just striving to make a lot of noise, we strive to make a difference. And that difference will be changing this system where the police who are supposed to protect and serve us continue to kill our members in our community. And we have to really address this issue as one that, what scenario could we offer where they finally indict police officers for killing us? Isn't that the real question? So as we make ready to hear from Attorney Gray and then from Reverend Al, and Mr. Brown will be present before you, we beg you all again that we know it's frustrating and we know that it's painful. It's painful to any parent, especially parents of young people of color, because we worry about our children every day. I mean, every day when we hear they have an encounter with the police, Reverend Al, I mean, our heart just stops. And it shouldn't be like that. We should be able to expect the police to treat our children just like they treat any other children in any other community. And so to hopefully really address this issue, we want the proposal for the Michael Brown law. That is the proposal that every police officer in every American city has a video body camera.
Yeah.
So it would be transparent. And we won't have to play this game of witnesses, memories, and secret grand jury proceedings. It'll just be transparent. And we can see it for ourselves. And we can hold people accountable when they have interactions with citizens, because this system is so unfair to the citizens. And we are all American citizens. And we ask that everybody, not just the entire St. Louis community, but all of America, join us in demanding change, making a difference for the lives of our children and for the sake of our communities, and especially for Micah Brown Jr., who is crying out from the grave with so many thousands of other people of color who have been killed by police, saying, "You all have to change this system." Attorney Gray.
I'll be very brief. I just want to remind everybody present, as Attorney Crump so eloquently pointed out, we said from the very beginning that the decision of this grand jury was going to be the direct reflection of the presentation of evidence by the prosecutor's office. If they present evidence to indict, there would have been an indictment. If they don't present the evidence in a manner to secure an indictment, then there won't be an indictment. So this grand jury decision, we feel, is a direct reflection of the sentiments of those that presented the evidence. We appreciate the data dump. We appreciate the fact that we got a chance to hear or read all of the testimony. We saw what was presented, but we didn't hear how it was presented. We didn't get a chance to hear the inflections in the voices. And the cynicism and the sarcasm and some of the questions that I read just jump off the pages at you. So it's all in the presentation of evidence, and I don't want anybody to be misled in any other way. I would also caution all those in the media that we still have an ongoing investigation. I'm not going to comment on very much of the evidence at all. I'm just going to ask that you have transcripts, read them for yourself. As I read the testimony of one person, Officer Darren Wilson, he indicted himself. Most of what he said didn't line up with the physical or the forensic evidence. You read it for yourself. You have it. It's right there in front of your face. And you know, there's an old adage that some people will say, if you really want to hide something, you hide it in plain view.
Right.
It's right there for us to see.
Right.
Now, I'm just going to encourage the ongoing investigators to continue to do what they have to do. And we'll hold out hope that subsequent investigations would produce a result that reflects the way that evidence was presented. I would only say to you that over 50 witnesses and only 4 to 5 of them were relevant. What was the other 55 for?
Amen.
If you already know going into it that a person didn't see the event, they already told you that, then why would you present them in front of the grand jury? What's the point? So it's things like that that just raises all kinds of red flags for us in this process. But we're going to hold out hope that at some point justice will be served, and we will at least have a presentation of evidence that is fair and impartial, and then we will allow the chips to fall where they may. Without any further ado, I bring to you Mr. Al Sharpton.
Three days after Michael Brown Jr. was killed, we had a major rally in this very church. We said that night, with his parents present, that we had little to no faith in the grand jury by the local district attorney. We said that night that we wanted the federal government to come in. That Sunday we had a unity rally where thousands came and joined us. We repeated it, and all the way through the funeral where I eulogized. Last night, the appearance by the district attorney made it clear to everyone why we had little faith in a state prosecution. I've been out involved in civil rights all my life. We have seen cases go ways that we felt were right and ways that we felt was wrong. I've never seen a prosecutor hold a press conference to discredit the victim.
That's right.
Where he went out of his way to go point by point in discrediting Michael Brown Jr., who could not defend himself. How do you, in explaining why you are not indicting a man that killed, try and convict a young man for shoplifting that can't explain the tape? Try to convict him for interfering in the police car when you don't hear his side of the story. Have you ever heard a prosecutor go in a press conference to explain to the press why the one that did the killing is not going to trial, but the victim is guilty of several things that no one has established? Then, to go further than that, he takes his time to methodically try and discredit the witnesses. Witnesses that will still be needed going forward in the ongoing federal investigation and if there are civil proceedings. What is the purpose of Mr. McCullough trying to undermine the credibility of the witnesses, undermine the credibility of the victim? Still has not explained to us how you have a man on the force that feels like he's a child up against Hulk Hogan. So what kind of training and policing do you do? And still has not explained the original altercation began over what in the first place and why he in turn fired the fatal shots. Let us not forget, the only one that makes a presentation in the grand jury is the prosecutor. There is no cross-examination. So for him to talk about inconsistencies is unchallenged because there's no one representing the other side to come and cross-examine what he put up. What may sound inconsistent is only responding to what was asked. If there was two sides, then maybe some of the gaps would have been filled. But when you have the attitude of a prosecutor that feels it is his duty to go out of his way to try and discredit a young teenager that can't speak for himself, then America saw why we said from day one, the federal government needs to step in to protect the rights of Michael Brown Jr. And to protect the rights of the citizens. It also was very strange to us that he lectured the media, a media that he and others had no problem when you leaked the videotape of Michael Brown in the cigar store or in the convenience store, a media that you had no problem leaking all kind of favorable stuff for the prosecution, a media you had no problem leaking things for the officer. So it seems to me that he has had the use of the media, then has a strange decision in a town that has been tense, in a town that has been forecast to have all kinds of problems. His solution is, let's announce it at night after dark. Let's make sure that all the kids are home, that all of the students are back for Thanksgiving break, and it's dark outside. And we're gonna announce it, and then I'm gonna get up in the dark and castigate the character of Michael Brown Jr. I think that it was irresponsible. I think that it was unnecessarily provocative. But I think it only cleared why many of us said, let's go to the federal government from the first place. He implied last night that the federal government and the state investigation ran hand in hand and ended last night. That is not the case. The Attorney General has released a statement saying the federal government investigation continues in the killing and in the review. And Mr. McCullough's statements last night or led others to believe differently. Let me be very clear that we were not surprised at what the outcome was.
That's right. That's right.
Certainly it is painful for the mother and father. Certainly there'll be emotional reactions. I've never seen a case where there wasn't. You're dealing with their flesh and blood.
Yeah. Right.
But let the record be clear. You have broken our hearts,
yeah,
but you have not broken our backs.
Yeah.
We are going to continue to pursue justice. And this is not a Ferguson problem.
No.
There's a grand jury about a week or two away from deciding the chokehold case in New York. There's a 12-year-old that was just killed by police in Cleveland. This is a problem all over the country. Right now, 12 noon, all over the country, people are marching and gathering in front of federal courthouses, National Action Network, NAACP, National Urban League. All of our members are coming out. Empowerment movement. Today, other Saturday, we'll be all over the country. We will continue to fight for a new level of accountability of policing in this country. Michael Brown will not be remembered for the ashes from buildings burned in Ferguson. He will be remembered for new legislation and the upholding of law that protects citizens in the country. Let me also remind you, for over 100 days, young people, older people, people of all races marched and rallied in this city.
Yes. That's right.
And they did it peacefully, right, and nonviolently.
Right.
Yes, those that got violent last night, those that acted in a destructive manner, does not represent the spirit of Michael Brown. It was those young people, those old people, that stood no matter what the weather for over 103 days,
right,
that kept going. Those are the ones that have stood for Michael Brown.
Yeah.
They're on Brown's side.
Yeah.
Those that burn are on their own side. If you're on Michael Brown's side, you walk with dignity. If you're on Michael Brown's side, you stand up with pride and call to uphold the law. If you do anything to harm others, you're on your own side. You're not on Brown's side. We are on the side of Michael Brown to fight for what is right. Don't lower those standards. In that light, we also question how you have grand juries now that are trial juries.
Right.
The use of a grand jury is to find out if there is probable cause to go to trial. You do not have a grand jury to decide on the guilt or innocence of the accused. You only decide, is there enough to go for? You have a deceased body, this person did it, their accusations, he contradicts him, it goes to trial.
Right.
The fact that last night the prosecutor was not announcing whether there was probable cause, he was announcing the acquittal of the officer because he tried him rather than investigate him. And that is a miscarriage and a misuse of the grand jury system. Let's be real clear what we saw. We also, in that light, Mark Morial of National Urban League was present. Cornell Brooks, Dr. Brooks, president of NAACP, Melanie Campbell of Black Leadership Roundtable Women, and Pamela Mays of the National Bar Association, and I have called an emergency civil rights leadership meeting in Washington, D.C. next week. In that meeting, Reverend Jamal Bryant, Empowerment Temple. In that meeting, we will determine a ongoing strategy that will include mass and regular marches, legislation, and economic boycotts. We will not turn around. We want you to know that we will have the leading activists, civil rights activists, including some of our young groups,
yes,
that want, yes, room on the platform, that have shown the ability to mobilize. This is not about all of us liking each other. This is about all of us being bonded with a common goal. And we will come out of that summit and lay out a plan that will constructively help to change this nation and bear on those ongoing cases. Because we just had another case in New York over the weekend, in a public housing of a stairwell. Michael Brown has lit a new energy,
yes,
for police accountability. I remember when Rodney King happened. Mm-hmm. Our hearts were broken when we went to Simi Valley and watched a trial jury acquit those police. There was violence after that, but we kept on going. And the federal government came in and those policemen were convicted. So before you think this is over, remember, remember what happened in Rodney King. We went from Simi Valley to the federal government. This will not end in the valley here. We're going to keep on going. We have told this family we're with them to the end. And we've told them we're going to do it with dignity. And we told them we were going to do it unfinished the cause. That is why we're here today, to let Michael Brown Sr. and Liz know that we may have lost one round, but the fight is not over. And Brother Shahid and Brother Akbar, anytime you watch a fight, sometimes you can even get knocked down in a round. But I've seen champions get up off the mat and still win the fight. We took a blow last night, but that's all right. We've gone to the corner and cleared our heads. We come out for the next round.
Thank you, Reverend Sharpton. We took a blow, but some people said it was a fixed fight. It ain't over. And I am reminded again, as I sit with my co-counsel and Attorney Means, the prosecutor is supposed to prosecute, not be the defense attorney for the person that we're sitting in judgment of. And so that's troubling. We got to deal with these real issues, because this process was supposed to give clarity when they release this data dump. But really, didn't it create more questions than anything? So with that, we will try to address some of your questions, and then we'll...
Attorney Crump, can you please respond to the video last night?
Certainly. Donna, I try to answer your question. Again, Lizzie McSpadden's immediate reaction, which was caught on videotape, after hearing the devastating news that the killer of her child was not going to be brought to justice, was overwhelming to her. She, as a Ferguson community, understands that we all have a responsibility to protect the community. Michael Brown Sr. is here speaking on behalf of his family, and you all saw his PSA where he continued to ask for calm. And that's one of the reasons why he is not speaking today. You don't want to be able to use the raw emotion of a family that has been devastated once by seeing their child dead on the ground, and then getting the devastating news of a prosecutor who was supposed to go and represent people like Michael Brown, but accuse Michael Brown. So that's the raw emotion of it. And we try to move on, focused on the cause of saying nobody is going to condone violence, and we're going to reject it. And as Reverend Al said, people who do that stuff, it's not appropriate. Michael said it so eloquently, asked him for peace and calm. Right. And so we'll move on.
Attorney Trump, I have a question. Yeah. Question. Go ahead. My first question is, did you ever get a sense from the prosecutor as to what the votes were? That's number one. And number two, what do you say to the prosecutor saying that, you know, we've opened all this evidence up, you know, we've given everyone a chance to take a look, we've been transparent, they've actually made an effort to be above and beyond transparent?
You know, well, two quick things on that. As Attorney Means just reminded me, you know, prosecutors, when you come to put on your case, you don't put on your worst case, you put on your best case. Does anybody think that he put on his best case? You know, and then why change the rules when it's our children dead on the ground?
Right,
you know,
right,
for all the 28 years or so, Reverend Al, that he was the prosecutor, he did grand juries, you know, he recommended charges. He didn't go dump everything out. So he said he did it this way because it was so fair. So is that to say for the other 28 years he was unfair? Don't change the rules on us. We want equal justice. We want due process. Yes, ma'am.
Two quick questions. Yesterday, the grand jury handed down its decision. In Washington, President Obama awarded a Presidential Medal of Freedom to the three civil rights activists, Schwerner, Cheney, and Goodman, who their killers were not indicted by the state, but by the federal government. Are you hoping for the same thing here? And number two, last night, as we covered the protests in front of the Ferguson police station, it was packed with riot police, state troopers were there, all the advanced weaponry was there. When we went over to West Florissant and expected to be stopped there by the police, as we were at the protests months ago, it was wide open. We saw no state troopers, and we hardly saw police. Do you think the authorities let Ferguson burn?
Yeah.
Yes.
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 Well, let me say to the first part, of your question, because I think the second question has been answered. The first part of your question, it is, and you are probably more aware than most of the media, if not all that are here, it has been the legacy of his civil rights movement that you always had to go to the federal government and could not depend on states. Whether it was Goodman, Cheney, or Schwerner, whether it was Michael Brown Jr. So we are not in a strange place. We had hoped we'd be in a different place, but it's not strange. And I think that it is interesting that on the day that Goodman, Cheney, and Schwerner were given the Medal of Freedom was the day that McCullough decided in the dark hours to announce his state decision on the Michael Brown case. And 8 years ago today, Sean Bell was killed by police in New York. So all of these things come together. But I think the lawyers have stated the legal case. I say that many of us, for Marc Morial and Cornell Brooks and all of us, this is not our first rodeo, McCullough. We will deal with this in the way civil rights leaders have.
Okay.
Sir, last night, I don't think anyone questions Ms. McFadden's response, but her husband said, let's burn this.
It's raw emotion, not appropriate at all, completely inappropriate. And, you know, God forbid your child is killed the way they kill, and then they get that just devastating announcement in the manner it was announced, and somebody put a camera on your face, what would be your immediate reaction? So don't condemn them for being human. And I think Michael Brown Sr. has stated very clearly for Michael Brown Jr.'s family that they want people to behave in a responsible, peaceful manner. Right. And we're not going to keep dwelling on this because we're trying to focus on the issue of getting this system corrected so we don't have people feeling so frustrated that they got to go march throughout the night for simple justice.
And let me say this, and I think it's a fair question. That's one of the reasons that all of us here as civil rights leaders to say that there is another way other than to explode and other than to have an outrage like that. Many of us are condemned, but we are the vehicle to try and address these things. Yet we're considered incendiary when in many ways we're the ones that are trying to show the constructive way to get justice. Because after you burn stuff down, then what? That's not going to get us justice. Yeah. If you burn down buildings, you achieve what? A fire. But you don't get justice for Michael Brown. That's why we're here this morning, to show a better way. We just need the system to meet us halfway. That's and right. Do what you said you would do.
And we condemn the violence and the looting from last night, but we also condemn the violent acts that happened on August 9th that killed Michael Brown.
That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right.